Thank you, John. Good morning. You do look good. You do look good. You are so precious, and you are more valuable than you realize. I know some of us, I've been guilty of this, think a lot of ourselves. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean your value. The fact that you're made in God's sight, and that the whole reason he made this universe was to make it inhabitable, to bless you and your lives and the other 7 billion of us that live on the planet. What a statement from the Creator that he loves you that much, and even more than that, because he gave his son for you. Thank you for making this morning this a priority for you. That's a powerful statement, and it's valuable. And your presence, again, is more valuable than you realize. What you do for many, many people, just by your walk, the simplicity of getting up and being here this morning. God has great things to do with your life. Let's go to our Father in prayer as we get ready for this lesson this morning. Holy Lord, dear Father, great God, you are awesome in every wonderful, infinite way. Father, we pray that we can be yours, always yours, eagerly yours, joyously yours. Father, help us to be a people who have our eyes wide open, our hearts soft in your hands, that we can see the needs around us and be motivated by your love to care and teach and love and serve. Help us to stand strong, but yet be gentle. Help us to be unwavering and yet be prostrate and serving. Father, teach us in this lesson that which you want us to learn about who you are and what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Did you hear the news? I had to copy it off yesterday. It came through, I think this is through USA Today. It was on their front page of their news service. There's some people really highly upset around the country. Starbucks has not started their pumpkin spice latte on time, like they said. Oh, no, it's right here. People are angry. Customers are getting angry. It is the most highly anticipated fall beverage. There are PSL chat rooms. PSL is pumpkin spice latte, in case you... They include in here the texts and twits. Is that what you call a Twitter? Tweet. Tweet. That wasn't a slip. I didn't mean that the way it sounded. Starbucks is not releasing PSL until September 5th. Not happy, says this one customer. Someone else writes, Starbucks has totally botched the launch of the PSL, and I still have no clue when. We all have been there. There's no finger pointing. You sports lovers know right in the middle of the play, you know, the TV goes out or the commercial comes on. What are they doing? Don't they understand how important this is? Or the more famous and universal, getting cut off in traffic. That's your 50 feet of highway, and this guy just took it. Or, parking lot space. Let somebody pull into the parking lot space that you already have your turn signal on to be ready to take as soon as you have enough room, and the guy comes from the other direction. It just proves that we can put our hearts sincerely into anything. Being angry over the delayed release of a pumpkin spice latte, or your parking lot in front of Fred Meyer is being taken and you have to park 120 feet farther away, shows how shallow we get with our own hearts. Hearts are important to God. And he asks us to have a heart for him. Your heart is that which motivates you. Your heart is that which drives your thinking. Your heart is that which drives your focus. Your heart is that which drives your priorities. What's important to your day? What's important right now? What's important this afternoon? All those things are being driven by the direction and the intentions of your heart. And we've all been there where the pumpkin spice latte, I don't like pumpkin coffee at all, but we've all been there when the super ridiculously trivial has risen up to some piece of importance. And hopefully we catch ourselves and go, why is this bothering me? Why am I upset that this person took my parking spot? I hope they have a wonderful shopping trip and their extra 120 feet saves them all kinds of time. Really, truly, we have much bigger things and our Heavenly Father wants us to focus on them. Hearts are important to God. Hearts are very important to God. He wants our hearts. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrine, the commandments of men, the ideas of men, the priorities of men. God wants us, by our hearts, to be with him. Jesus here is quoting the prophet Isaiah. This is in Matthew 15. Our worship, the bringing of our lives, the praise to God we're supposed to have every day, is intended to be genuine, heart-centered, daily, and with passion. Jesus rebukes in Matthew 12, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? From the mouth speaks that which fills the heart. From the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. When we talk, when we snap, when we criticize, when we cut, when we praise, when we compliment, when we help, when we connect, all of those initiate their process in the heart. All of those come out of our heart. If anger is an issue with you, it's an issue in your heart. If cutting and criticism and rejection come out of you at times, it's a heart issue. It's not a surface issue. That's a heart issue. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. We'll talk about treasure in a while, but hearts are very important to God. God has a plan for your heart. We're going to look at these three scriptures, Proverbs 23, Ezekiel 36, which John just read for us, thank you, and Psalm 51. We're going to look at these three scriptures and see God's plan, intent for our heart. For our heart, starting with Proverbs 23. Look at Proverbs there with me. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. But you strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, verse 15, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always, and surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth, and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding, and the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who sires a wise son will be glad with him. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. He builds for us a pattern, a desire for discipline, a desire for knowledge, a desire for wisdom, and a rejection of all that is in the world. Don't long after the sinner's life. Don't envy those that are caught up in the world. My goodness, look at the money they've got. Look at the things they've got. Look at the freedom they've got. Look what they get to try out. Look at the fame they've got. Don't envy that. Don't chase after that. And then he says, give me your heart. Interesting how the free choice remains ours. It always remains our choice to give our faith, our love, our heart, our service. The father of the righteous, verse 24. He's literally talking about parents in this passage, but he also is imitating and reflecting God himself, the father of the righteous. Give me your heart, my son. Now, Ezekiel 36, turn there with me. Ezekiel 36, God telling the prophet what to tell to Israel. John just read this for us, so we won't go back and read through it. But look how interesting God's teaching is. He's very clear, and look through your passage as we get to these. I'm sure you followed along with John a few minutes ago. It is not for your sake, house of Israel, that I am about to act. It's not for us. It's not about us. It intimately involves us. It intimately connects to us. But it's not for us, and it's not about us. It's for God's name. It's not even for God personally himself. It's for his identity. It's that the world will know the power of his name, and the glory of his name, and the holiness of his name. His name has been profaned among the nations, and it's being profaned among the nations today. People laugh at the idea of a creator God. They point and jeer at those who stand convinced of a creator God, and God's name is mocked. And God says, I will act for my name's sake. Verse 23, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. He does this that he might be known. God says, I want to be known, and I want to be known accurately among the peoples of the world, that the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. Now, God's holiness, interestingly enough, is being shown in how he treats his people. And it's his greatness is being shown in what he does for us personally, and it says he'll give you a new heart. He's the surgeon who does the heart transplant. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, that you will be careful to observe them. God says that our unity with him, starting with a heart of flesh, a soft heart that he can work with, is his action when we relinquish our heart to him, when we listen to him, when we are willing to submit to his statutes, when our faith is ready to act, he will provide us a new heart. He provides us with his spirit. We know that happens at baptism. The New Testament explains that we receive his spirit when we're baptized into Christ. A new heart, a new spirit. New Testament talks about it as being a new creation, a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. We are a new man, a new woman in Christ. So we've looked at Proverbs, we've looked at Ezekiel, and now Psalm. This is a little more well-known. David's calling out in the gasping of his own and the horror of his own sin. Psalm 51, 10 through 17. Starting in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit, that I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted to you. We give God our heart. He gives us one he can work with. And when we soil it, we can cry out to him, I need a clean one, Father. I've messed up the life you gave me. And with that crying out, with a soft, pliable heart, God can renew it, clean it. He calls out in these few verses, 10 through 13, stability, closeness, belonging, joy, willing. All these things David is agonizing over because he's losing it. He's lost it. His sin has come up. He has wronged his family. He has wronged his nation. He has wronged his people. And he has wronged God. Please, Father, don't take your spirit from me. I need a clean heart. I'm willing. I want to teach. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Give God your heart. He'll make it new, and he'll guide you in all you do. David describes all aspects of his life that have been soured by the sin that he has brought into his life, by the fouling of this heart that God has given him. He doesn't want those desires in his heart. He went and lay with Bathsheba is the crime, and the murder of Uriah is the crime that David is agonizing over him, what he has done to his family and his nation. He doesn't want those desires in his heart, and he begs God for help here. Give God your heart. He'll make it new, and he'll guide you in all aspects of your life. I thought this cartoon was kind of pointed. I don't usually use things like this in a lesson, but it got to me when I looked at it. These are all nice and interesting and powerful things to hear, but it still begs the question, how do we do this? Because this is one of the passions of a Christian who's serious about their faith. I want my faith to be deeper. I want my walk to be more deliberate and determined. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to be real. I want to be deep. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, I've got three parts here. First, establish. First is establish and align your heart. Something Jesus taught in one of his very earliest lessons. We've talked about here, about this verse before. But let's look at Matthew 6. Let's look at Matthew 6. Join me there in verse 19. Do not store up for your treasure, store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, and so if the eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, that's a strange sentence, by the way. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Jesus teaches this as a singularity issue. Who's your treasure? Where's what's important to you? Is you and your life important to you? Your job, your money, your home, your parking space, your pumpkin spice latte? Is that your treasure? Because if that's your treasure, your heart will go happily down the road and plant itself right on top of that treasure. And when you're crossed, or your career has gotten in the way of, or your money is messed with, or your time is taken away from you, or your pumpkin spice latte doesn't show up in the right time in September, your heart is going to stand up and say, hey, what are they doing to us? It sounds backwards. It's always sounded backwards to me, except that I'm trusting Christ. I remember the first time I heard this lesson. We think that we put our heart somewhere and what's important to us will follow. He says, no, you put what's important to you and your purpose and heart will follow. And it happens all the time. Go watch a couple of movies. Go binge watch some interesting set of episodes and see what you end up talking about during the week. Oh, did you see that news? Do you see it? I watched the first five episodes last weekend. And let me tell you, it didn't really get good until about the third episode. But let me tell you about it. You see what you end up talking about. And you see what you look forward to when you come home at night. You put your time and your effort, you set your treasure and your attention and your energy and your money and your time and your effort, your words, and your thoughts, all of these will happily run in that direction when we set what's important to us. Now, we know it's important, Christ and his will and his word and his body. So nail that down. Nail down your time and effort put into his body. The church might be boring at times. We could even be difficult to get along with at times. We got stubbornness. We got opinions. We've got loud mouths and quiet mouths and intermediates. We've got people who are just awesome and people who are quiet and people who are difficult. And we've got all kinds. But that's what the Lord does with his church. He brings everybody and anybody into his body. And when that's established, you take your life and you put it there and you pound that spike through your life into his church and say, that's where I'm going to be. That's where I'll be Sunday morning. That's where I will be at their Bible class. I'll be at the fellowship. I'm not going to miss Wednesday night because I want to know the people then too and learn from his word. It's not a question of if or when or how or what. It's established. You establish. You set your treasure. You set your treasure. You show love for people. You set what's important to you, and your heart will follow right along. Your heart will follow right along. So, set and establish. Number two, guide and guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 20. Son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying. Let not them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart, or as some versions say, guard your heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you the deceitful mouth. Put devious speech far away from you. Let your eyes look ahead, directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the paths for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. It seems half the Old Testament references to the heart connect to God's word. Putting his word in your heart, guiding your heart with his word, devoted to his word by your heart, over and over and over again in Psalms and Proverbs particularly, heart and God's word are connected. Read his word. Stay in it every day. You want to guide your heart? Get in God's word daily. Read it. Know it. Love it. Trust it. Give it a treasured treatment. Guide your thoughts with purity. Get rid of the garbage entertainment. Get rid of the hurtful patterns, the ones that pull you into crooked ways and messed up self-thinking and love for things of this world. Walk straight. Look straight. Move straight, not to the right or to the left. And guard your heart diligently. From it flows all of life, all of your life. Verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Your life comes and flows through your own heart. And finally, mature your heart. Mature your heart. We've talked about establishing your treasure. We've talked about guiding and guarding your heart. Now, the maturity of a heart in Christ. We've read this many times before, but in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, therefore, my beloved brethren, verse 1, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, I will stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Yodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God and the peace of God and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Stand firm in the Lord. Be united with God's family. If there's a division in this room, if you have an issue or a division with any brother or sister, fix it for the sake of your heart, for the peace of your life, for the peace of their life. Fix it. Rejoice always. Worry never. Pray continually. Focus, meditate on that which is good. And God's peace will guard your heart. Establish and align your heart. Guide and guard your heart. Establish and align your heart by setting your treasure. Guide and guard your heart by being in His Word and keeping your path straight. Mature your heart by staying steadfast in His church, fixing your relationships, rejoicing always, praying continually, and knowing God's peace. This whole process, it's so important. It sets the joy that we talked about earlier this year. It sets the issues of our lives. It answers the questions. And it's so invigorating. It is so awesome. It starts with our faith and our decisions. It starts with us, our faith, and the beginning of this whole thing where we give our heart to God and say, Father, I trust You with it. I trust You. If there's any here today who have not been baptized into Christ, we don't want today to go by without you at least talking about it, that we can know where you are in your faith and help you either with a Bible study. If you're ready, you can be baptized right now. Or if you have any other need that the church can help you with. We want to get down to the heart level in every one of our lives. We want to be real at that level. We want to be deep. We want God to be the one who controls and manages and pricks and maneuvers and manipulates our hearts. That He has us. He's the surgeon. He's the loving Father. He made us. Whatever your need is, would you come forward while we stand and sing the song that Scott has chosen for us?